Right. Good morning, Melbourne Church.
All right. So this morning we're going to jump back into Hebrews. And this is the exciting section to me because it's where we enter into what I consider the absolute core and centerpiece of the New Testament. And before we jump into our text today, I just want to briefly hit and identify the six old covenants of the Old Testament and identify the one new covenant in the New Testament. Got to find my clicker here. So here they are in brevity. It's the Edenic covenant was the first one. This was made between God and Adam. You can read about that in Genesis 1. The second old covenant was the Adamic covenant. And this one is found in Genesis chapter 3, if you want to go read it. There is the Noahic covenant, number 3, which is found in Genesis chapters 8 through 9. Number 4 is the Abrahamic covenant. That's in Genesis chapter 16 and 18. You have the Mosaic covenant coming in at number 5, and that one is found in Exodus chapters 20 and 40. And then you have the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and Psalm 89. So these are the six old covenants of the Old Testament. And if you don't understand what went away, I don't believe you can fully appreciate what we have today. So this is what was passing away, and it's what Jesus was ushering in. Now, this seventh and final covenant, you can read about it in Matthew 26, 28, and the bulletin article talks about it just a little bit. But coming in at number 7 is the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. That's what we are a part of today if we have obeyed the gospel. And I will outline that a little further in this lesson. But what I want to do is start off with a framework for what is covenant. Okay? In Greek, the covenant means to bind. It is a binding obligation. It is to enter into an agreement. And it is also a declaration of purpose. This was someone's full life purpose. It was the reason that they live and get up out of bed in the morning. And it has never changed. It is the same for us today in that context as it was yesterday. And covenant is truly the ultimate expression of committed love and trust. And we enter into covenant with our God through the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. Covenant is an absolute lifelong obligation. Now, that's just in super brevity, but carry this thought with you as we go through this lesson. And now we're going to jump into the text this morning. We're going to start with Hebrews chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Now, when you first look at this text, it has the term setting aside. In Greek, that means to declare something as void and to completely invalidate it. Now, this former commandment that has been made void and invalidated, it's the Mosaic law. That's what the Pharisees and all of the Jews hung their hats on in the Old Testament under that old covenant system. It had everything to do with the law of Moses. Well, now it's leaving. It's completely leaving. And the fact that it's a former commandment, church, that shows us that it was temporary from the day that it was installed back thousands of years ago. It was never meant to be permanent. Now, the law of Moses did have a very distinct purpose, but it could never make anything or anyone perfect. But what the law of Moses did is it pointed towards God as a place to start for people that wanted to walk with God. The law of Moses, it taught spiritual principles. It taught us how to love God and how to love other people. But it was completely impossible for the Mosaic law to restore peace and fellowship with God. That's why it's weak. And that's why it's useless. So you see, church, something better had to be provided, and something better was being ushered in. It's something that wasn't a law, but it was simply the bringing in of a better hope, is what the Hebrew writer tells us in verse 19. And really what this is, it's the kind of hope that we're no longer distant from God. We can now draw near to God through a better hope that's not weak, but it's actually powerful. It's not useless, it's useful. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. And if you really want to get down to it, it's a better hope in the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. That's what chapter 7 of Hebrews is really about. And what I love about this, we find out that this is exactly how we draw near to God today. Now, when you think about those old covenants, a priest had to kill an animal, make a sacrifice, and that's what brought in temporary peace with God until another animal was sacrificed. That's how they drew near to God in the Old Testament. But today, we don't need human priests to have access to God. That's not how this works anymore. You know, on the Day of Atonement, once a year, they always offered an unblemished lamb or a goat in that offering. And that's not how it works today. And now that our priest is no longer human, the new priest that has been ushered in is Jesus Christ himself. And those that are in covenant with Jesus today have all become priests. That's you. If you don't know that you're a priest, let me inform you now that Scripture tells us we all have a priestly robe. And we need to know that. If we're in covenant with God, we've got a very high obligation, and we may not be aware of what that obligation is. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12 draws out a significance that I think could be otherwise overlooked. So let's take a look at this. When the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. Well, Jesus came in as a new priest, so the law completely changed. And what took place when Jesus came out of the grave is that the law did completely change because the eternal high priest, Jesus, has now come into his full functioning role of high priest to take care of sin eternally, perpetually. Now, that changeover moment, you really see it show up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. Peter writes here, "You as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up your spiritual sacrifices," not animal sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of God who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." What this tells us, church, we don't need human priests to provide access to God any longer. Jesus has become our high priest. He's taken care of our sin problem. He's taken care of our death problem. And every soul that enters into the blood covenant of Christ is united to Jesus Christ and has joined into what's called the priesthood of all believers. Now, what I really want to get down to is, what's that matter in our life right now? You know, what are the sacrifices that we offer to God today as priests? Well, it's spiritual sacrifices of love and obedience, if you boil it all down. And even in the Old Testament, God made it clear that love and obedience from the heart was a lot more than just taking the life and the blood of an animal. That can be meaningless if there's no heart underneath it. Now take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." So it's better for every priest to obey God to begin with than to have to sacrifice to God to take care of a sin that's been committed. That's all this means. And it's better to heed than to burn the fat of animals to cover over your sins. I looked up heed in the Greek, and it simply means to pay attention to and to listen to God. It means to take in what God says and actually do it. That's how we heed the Word of God. And once a person is heeded to the Lord by paying attention to what He says and listening very closely, love and obedience is what God's looking for. That's what He ultimately wants from all of us. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, our role in the priesthood of all believers today is to live in such a way that we can present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices that are truly acceptable to God. What we do with our body matters. Every part of our body and how we function on this earth, it matters. It matters because that's the only sacrifice we've got. That's all we've got is to give of ourselves, and God wants all of us. That is our priestly role. And when you think about sacrifice, it means that something has to die. So a spiritual sacrifice today, it includes dying to our own desires and coming alive for the desires of God. And when you boil it all down, church, this is exactly what stands at the center of A Better Hope, which is the title of today's lesson, and it's the entire centerpiece of Hebrews chapter 7. So I say all that in introduction, and now we're going to jump into the sermon. Okay? Read with me in chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, the main idea of this is not just that Jesus has become, but church, Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant right here, right now, today. And this covenant is able to form the ideal partnership between God and man that the old law could never touch. And that means that this new covenant can actually bring us into the presence of our God. It means that we can have sin removed. It means we can have confidence that we can die in the flesh and be resurrected out of the grave because it has no power over us. That is the essential good news of all of the New Testament. And it's all culminated right here in Hebrews chapter 7 as this transition and this changeover takes place. And Jesus Himself is now the guarantee of a better covenant. It's better than anything they ever had access to in the Old Testament. Verses 23 and 24. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because He continues forever, holds His priesthood permanently. Now, this Levitical system that did all the animal sacrificing, now they recognized the importance of continually having a high priest at all times. You know, if the incense ever went out in the temple, I'm talking over a full 24-hour period of time, there was a penalty to be paid and somebody died. Okay, these things had to continually happen. There could not be any breaks in the sacrifices being offered. If there was a break in the sacrifice being offered, life was taken. Now, this is critically important to understanding where we're at today with Jesus and what His role is and who He is in our life right now. And when we look at this text, what it really means is that Jesus continually saves forever without pause and without hesitation because that's exactly who He is. There is never a break in Jesus saving us once we have reached salvation. That's not how it works. His blood is more powerful than that, and that's what the Hebrew writer wants us to know. Look at verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Now, these words ascribe to Jesus the absolute highest measure of saving power that is on this planet. Nothing trumps that. And Jesus Himself is able to save souls forever. And that's exactly what the law was weak and useless to do. Now, all the law could do was condemn. It was really good at tearing people down. That's what it did. And in Christ, we know there is absolutely no condemnation, and that's how we're brought into the presence of God. And church, that is how we draw near. And we need to know how to get close to God. But it gets even better than this. And I preached on this not long ago. Jesus always lives to make intercession. Okay? He never stops doing that. I mean, Jesus lives in the presence of God for the explicit purpose of interceding for us. And I find great comfort in this. Now, to help me wrap my mind around this, I got the definitions for intercede. But it means to light upon, to meet with, converse with, talk to, petition, to pray, and to plead for. And I had to chuckle at one definition I didn't put in here, but it says to get struck by lightning. Now that's lighting on someone, okay? It means to ring your bell and get your attention and to be a mediator. And who Jesus is, He is the one that is our mediator. He is the only bridge that we have to get access to God. And He is interceding for us. And He's waiting for us to get on board with Him and be in covenant with Him so we have access to God. And that's not dependent on Jesus. That's dependent on you and me and where our heart is. It's dependent on making our will what God wants. It's when we learn to want what God really wants. And to intercede, in Scripture, it's commonly used for making a petition to the Father. But a great example we see, it's in 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, and I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Now this is intercessory prayer from one human to another. But Jesus interceded for all New Testament Christians. Jesus prayed for you in this room in John 17:20. He's talking to God, and Jesus says, I do not ask, Father, on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. This is the word of the apostles. It's the words that we have written in the New Testament. And this is who Jesus was praying for, was for us. And after Christ's ascension, Paul writes some amazing words in Romans 8:34. He says, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. I mean, Christ prayed for us while He walked around in the flesh. Christ is praying for our salvation right now. Not just for us to be saved, but at the point of our salvation, Jesus never stops praying for our salvation. And that's why His blood continually cleanses all of our sins when we keep sinning after we're saved. That's how that works. His blood never stops. His blood never stops. And the Hebrew writer wants these new Christians to know this. He wants us to know this. And I'm so encouraged that Jesus never stops praying. And what it really shows us is that Jesus was not selfish. He was not self-centered on earth. And He's not self-centered about Himself in heaven. He is all about other people. And He lives explicitly for others. Now that's something to imitate in godliness. And I love that about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest. Now watch this. Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted from heaven, or above the heavens. So the Hebrew writer uses these five qualities to do his best to depict a word picture of who Jesus is. Now, these first three words, holy, innocent, undefiled. You see, in His earthly life, Jesus proved to be holy toward God. I mean, He was absolutely blameless, innocent, undefiled, and He was unstained from even the slightest imperfection. He could not be disqualified from His role as high priest. And that's critical. You see, if He could have been, He could not take care of sin. But Jesus is also, 4 and 5 here, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. I don't know any human that's got those qualities. But you see, Christ sits on his rightful throne in heaven, and he does that with all authority that's been given to him by the Father. And Christ was and is separated from sinners because he was without sin. And in Jesus Christ's exaltation, he was removed from this sin-filled earth, and he has adequately dealt with all sin once for all. Verse 27, Jesus does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he died once for all when he offered up himself. Now, it was written in the law, and I find this fascinating. Earthly high priests, they had to first offer up sacrifices for their own sins and then for the sins of his family. And that was done once a year on the Day of Atonement. But that's not what the Hebrew writer's talking about. That's usually what we default to in our thinking. He's talking about daily sacrifices. Daily sacrifices. And the Levitical priest, as I just said, they never stopped working. And they continually and daily offered sacrifices of various kinds to the Lord. And that was part of being in relationship with God. You had to do that to love God. If you did not do that, you didn't love God. And that was the bottom line. And today, Jesus Christ has no need to go through this routine of the Levitical ministry because he has no sins to atone for himself. He's taken care of humanity's sins once for all. That happened 2,000 years ago, not when he died on the cross, but when the power of God raised him up out of the grave and he defeated death itself. That is the radical changeover moment of the old covenant to the new. Now, the offering of Christ's body and blood, what really happened, church, is it has now been presented to God as a perfect offering, one time only, and it's something that God sees as eternally pleasing and satisfying. And to me, this helps unravel some of the mystery of Jesus and how we have sins taken care of. It's hard to dig into Hebrews, but this is the kind of riches that we can mine out of it whenever we dig into it. Read verse 28 with me. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. So I find it fascinating that Jesus did not even appoint himself as a son. The word of the oath appointed Jesus as a son and made him perfect forever. And that means that no human being had a part in doing this. Not even Jesus had a part of doing this, because the word of the oath is God's word himself. So it was the Father that qualified his own son to come before him in a priestly action. It was never the idea of Jesus. Jesus submitted to what the Father wanted. He made God's will his will. He learned to want what the Father wants. And that's our role in following Jesus today. That's our role in our own priesthood that we're a part of today. He's the high priest, but we still have a priestly function. And what this all does is it makes Jesus the only high priest that is capable of qualifying any human soul for salvation. And that's exactly how we can come directly before God and simply be connected to our Father in absolute intimacy. It's got to be through Jesus. It's got to be through the covenant, where he is the bridge that gives us that access. And you know, in wrapping it all up, I mean, this is our better covenant described in Hebrews chapter 7. It's also been called the eternal purpose and plan of God. And church, every single human being on the planet is invited to enter into covenant with God. They can all be a part of this. All of us can be. And what it does, it starts with faith that takes in Scripture. You got to take in the Word of God and you got to let it work on you. And whenever that faith grows, eventually it confesses Jesus as the absolute King and the Son of the living God. And faith grows when sin is confessed and repented of. And how do we seal the deal with covenant? We are immersed into Jesus Christ, and our faith continues to grow. And that is the very moment that we enter into the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. That's how that works. And that's where the Christian journey begins. So I just invite you today, if you want to be a part of that journey and you're not a part of it, I want to invite you to be immersed into Christ today. And if you've already been baptized during covenant and you've got some distance between God, Jesus is the way to close that gap. And I would love to pray with you right now and help you draw near to Him. So if there's any way that we can walk with you, if you would, please come forward as we stand and sing.